ओम नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पातृतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहम्। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। श्रीभगवानुवाच अशोच्यान् अन्वशोचस्त्वं प्रज्ञावादांश्च भाषसे गतासून् अगतासूंश्च नानुशोचन्ति पण्डिताः। अर्जुन हैज सरेंडर्ड टू द लॉर्ड। श्रेयस्यान् निश्चितं ब्रूहि तन्मे शिष्यस्तेऽहं शाधि मां त्वां प्रपन्नम्। He surrendered to the Lord, asking for Shreyas, highest knowledge, which will remove his delusion. Bhagavan, being Sarvajna, he gave out Atma Jnanam as the solution for Arjuna's delusion.
Bhagavan Shankaracharya starts his commentary not from the first chapter onwards, but from the second chapter, 11th shloka, this shloka onwards. Up to 10th shloka of the second chapter, he summarizes by a beautiful introduction, and that introduction ends with this statement. तत्र एवं धर्मसम्मूढचेतसः मिथ्याज्ञानवतः महती शोकसागरे निमग्नस्य अर्जुनस्य अन्यत्र आत्मज्ञानात् उद्धरणम् अपश्यन् भगवान् वासुदेवः ततः कृपया अर्जुनम् उद्दिदारयिषुः आत्मज्ञानाय अवतारयन् आह। फाइंडिंग नो मीन्स other than self-knowledge for the deliverance of Arjuna, who was confused and confounded in this way with regard to his duty, and who was deeply plunged into the mighty ocean of grief, Bhagavan Vasudevaha, who wished to help his friend and who wanted to free him from the samsara sagara, introduced Arjuna to self-knowledge in the following words. By this statement, Shankaracharya wanted to say that Bhagavan, being Sarvajna, he has rightly diagnosed the cause for Arjuna's suffering. Though the immediate cause is the confusion with regard to whether this yuddha is right or dharmic yuddha or adharmic yuddha, the real cause of his grief is something else. What it is? Atma ajnanam. Just as a true doctor, he has diagnosed the actual disease by seeing the symptoms. The symptoms in Arjuna's case, raga, shoka and moha, these are all the symptoms. But the actual disease is ajnanam. Unless a person removes this ajnanam, he cannot get rid of this attachment and delusion born of attachment, and the sorrow born of attachment. Therefore, Bhagavan, instead of treating the symptom, now he has decided to treat the very disease itself by revealing the nature of one's own self.
Ashochyan anvashochastvam prajñavadamscha bhashase gatasun agatasunscha nanushochanti panditah. This shloka is the condensation of entire Gita. In this shloka, Bhagavan wants to tell to the humanity that the cause of all human problems is nothing but self-ignorance. Self-ignorance being the cause, he prescribes the solution in the form of self-knowledge. Atma ajnanam eva samsara karanam tasmat jnanadeva tu kaivalyam. Therefore, Atma Vidya or Brahma Vidya is the central theme of Gita, even though other topics like Karma Yoga, Japa, Upasana, Puja, values are all talked about, they are all nothing but supporting topics to this one particular and central theme, namely Atma Vidya. How does Bhagavan establish us that Atma Vidya is the solution for all human problems? In this shloka, Bhagavan says, Panditaha na anushochanti. It's a very beautiful statement. Wise man don't grieve. Wise man with regard to what? With regard to Atma. Panda Atma Vishaya Buddhihi Yeshante Hi Panditaha. Here Panditaha means Atma Jnani, not a scholar in other departments of science. Panditaha na anushochanti, that means Atma Jnani don't have grief in his life. If you take that, not having grief is the criterion for Jnanam, then a scholar in any other branch of science will not qualify this criterion. A scholar in any other branch of science is certainly not free from grief. Whereas Atma Jnani alone is free from grief. In Upanishad, Tarati Shokam Atma Vidhi Iti. In Chandogya Upanishad, Narada Bhagavan comes asking for this wisdom. While he was approaching his teacher Sanat Kumara, he says that I heard from scripture that Atma Vith Shokam Tarati Iti. A knower of the self crosses shoka, grief in life. But even though I am knower of so many sciences he lists that he is the scholar. Even though I know all the sciences, still Soham Bhagavaha Shochami. I am in grief. Therefore only I have approached you. Please remove my grief by revealing the nature of the self. Here Bhagavan says, hey Arjuna, since you are having grief, you are certainly not a Atma Jnani. You are not a wise. It's an indirect scolding. Having grief, you are not a wise, you are otherwise. Ajnani. Vedanta asks this one particular question to every human being to make him to understand whether he is a jnani or ajnani. It asks, are you grieving? If the answer is yes, then Vedanta says, then you are not a jnani, you are dash dash dash. A sign of Atma Jnanam is freedom from four types of human problems. Every human being has these problems. One is Jignasa, desire to know something. There is a curiosity to know something, however much he is a scholar, this curiosity doesn't go. However much he is a scholar, this idea that I am ignorant doesn't go. He may be a scholar in one department of science, but he himself knows that there are many departments of science, so I don't know any of those things. So it is called Jignasa. This very Jignasa is because of ignorance. Then second one is Jighasa, a struggle to get rid of the bondage or a struggle to get rid of something. Then third one is Prepsa, struggle to attain something, struggle to get something in his life. Fourth one is Chikirsha, struggle to do something for the sake of Purnatvam, fulfillment. An Atma Jnani doesn't have any of these four problems in his life. Therefore, Shastra says, Atma Jnanam or Moksha is nothing but Jignasa Nivrittihi, Jighasa Nivrittihi, Prepsa Nivrittihi, Chikirsha Nivrittihi. Nothing but freedom from the desire, innate desire to know something, to get rid of something, to attain something, and to do something. If the cause of grief is understood properly, then only you can have proper solution. Vedanta says, Atma Ajnanam is the cause. And in our introduction for the second chapter, we saw how Atma Ajnanam is the cause of all the problems in human life. Because of self-ignorance, a person considers himself as a finite entity having one particular body-mind complex. That idea called Parichinnatvam leads to Dehabhimanaha. So all the problems of Deha becomes his problem, since he considers himself as one particular body-mind complex. When body is born, he says, I am born. He celebrates birthdays. When body is getting old, he says, I am old. When body is black, he says, I am black. When body is going to die, he says, I am going to die. So Vedanta says, Atma Ajnanam, ignorance about oneself, is the cause of problem. Once a person understands this particular cause, then naturally the solution will be, he will understand that it is nothing but Atma Jnanam, knowledge about oneself, knowledge about one's own infinite nature. Therefore, Vedanta repeatedly says, no type of action can remove this problem, because no action removes ignorance. Na karmana na prajaya dhane na tyage naike amrutatvamanushu. Na karmana, No type of action can remove ignorance. Not only ignorance about oneself, any type of ignorance cannot be removed by any type of action. Suppose, if you don't know what is the train time, particular train time, Shatabdi, whether it is 7:30 or 8 o'clock, you have to approach a particular pramanam from where you can get this particular knowledge. Instead of approaching that pramanam and gaining that knowledge about that particular train, suppose you start doing meditation or japa or cleaning the compartments, suppose, what will happen? Train will go, that's all. Ignorance is removed only when knowledge is brought inside the mind. Because ignorance is in mind, therefore knowledge should manifest in our mind. Then both ignorance and knowledge cannot coexist. Knowledge destroys ignorance. Like darkness is removed only by light, any amount of other types of activities cannot remove the darkness. Therefore, Bhagavan says, knowledge is the only solution. Therefore, he says, Panditaha na anushochanti. With regard to whom na anushochanti? With regard to whom they are not, they cannot have grief? Bhagavan says, Gatasun agatasun cha. Either with regard to living ones or with regard to dead ones. All our problems are centered either on living beings or dead ones. Not only with regard to beings, with regard to people, but with regard to present or past or future situations. Neither the past situation nor the future situation nor the present situation will affect the jnani. Whereas Arjuna, you are ashochyan anvashochaha. Panditaha na anushochanti. With regard to gatasun and agatansuncha, whereas you are grieving about ashochyan anvashochaha, you are grieving about those people who don't deserve any grief. Shoka yogyaha shochyaha. Ashochyaha means shoka ayogyaha, those who don't deserve sympathy or grief. Bhagavan here means about Bhishma and Drona, about whom Arjuna has grief. How can you say that Bhishma and Drona are not shoka yogyaha? What do you mean by Bhishma? From ordinary drishti, from ordinary angle, loka drishti, Bhishma is understood as deha. Bhishma's deha is equal to Bhishma, is the understanding of Arjuna. And from Veda Purva Bhaga Drishti, Karmakanda Drishti, Shastra Drishti, Bhishma is nothing but Bhishma's Jiva. And from Veda Anta Drishti, Upanishad Drishti, Bhishma is nothing but Chaitanya. With regard to all these standpoints, Bhishma is not yogyaha for shochaniya. From lokadrishti, if Bhishma is equal to deha, you cannot grieve about the destruction of deha, because whether you are going to destroy it or not, deha is going to get destroyed. It is anityam. So anityatvat Bhishma dehaha na shochaniyaha. Then From Karmakanda Drishti, Bhishma is equal to Jiva. Jiva cannot be destroyed. And this particular Jiva, Bhishma Jiva, is a dharmic Jiva. It has led a beautiful dharmic life, following all the values according to its own understanding. Satvrittatvat, Bhishma's Jiva cannot be destroyed, and it will gain Punya Loka because of its Satvritti, good life. Therefore also you cannot grieve on that. Then from Vedanta Drishti, Upanishad Drishti, Bhishma is equal to Chaitanyam. About Chaitanyam also you cannot have any grief, because Chaitanyam is Nitya Vastu, it will not get destroyed. Therefore, you cannot worry over a fact. What is that fact? As body, Bhishma will die. As Jiva, Bhishma will get good next birth because of his good life. And as Chaitanyam, Bhishma cannot be destroyed at all, Nityatva. So these are all the facts about Bhishma. In no way you can grieve about. Your tears reveal your ignorance. At the same time, prajñāvādāñca bhāṣase, you are speaking the words of wise man. Prajñā means wisdom. Prajñāvādāṁ means buddhimatāṁ. Words of wise man. You are pretending yourself as wise. Your words reveal wisdom, but your tears reveal ignorance. Now, Bhagavan says, now I am confused. Should I go by your words or should I go by your tears? Should I consider you as a wise man or should I consider you as ignorant? You are contradicting your own understanding. Ataha mudaha asi iti abhiprayaha. Shankaracharya nicely brings out the entire meaning of this indirect statement. You speak like wise man but behave like ignorant. How can you say that I behave like ignorant? Bhagavan says, you cry. That is enough to know that you are an ignorant person, because a wise man can never have grief in any of the drishti. From Deha Drishti also you cannot have grief. From Karmakanda Drishti also you cannot have grief. From Vedanta Drishti also you cannot have grief. Either with regard to living one or with regard to dead and past. Therefore, ataha mudaha asi. I concluded that you are ignorant. Indirectly, Shastra says, if anyone's words and actions are not with consistency, then they are to be considered as ignorant people. Having told Arjuna that your problem is ignorance, and for that problem, knowledge, self-knowledge is the solution, hereafter Bhagavan will reveal the real nature of the Atma, real nature of the Self, from the 12th shloka onwards up to 25th shloka. We will read. Natve vaham jatu nasam natvam neme janatipaha nachaivana bhavishyamaha sarve vayamatav param. Arjuna's problem is approached from three standpoints. Arjuna's immediate problem is what? Whether to fight or not. Whether fighting in this war is a dharmic action or not. That is the incidental and immediate problem. And this problem itself is caused by another fundamental problem called self-ignorance. Self-ignorance being the fundamental problem of entire humanity, keeping Arjuna as an instrument, Bhagavan gives out the solution for the fundamental and universal problem called ignorance. So in the coming chapters, all the angles of the human problem will be discussed. In the very beginning itself, from this shloka onwards up to 25th shloka, Bhagavan is going to deal this fundamental problem. We call it philosophical approach, Atma Drishti. What are the three angles? One angle is Deha Drishti. Another angle is Jiva Drishti. Third angle is Chaitanya Drishti. Deha Drishti will reveal from the standpoint of Deha also. You cannot say, I will not fight this war because it is your Swadharma. From the Jiva Drishti, you cannot say, I cannot fight because it is your, it's an ethical thing to be done. By participating in the war, you are going to fulfill your ethical commitment. Then third one is Chaitanya Drishti, philosophical approach. Initially, Bhagavan takes philosophical approach. Why? Because Arjuna knew what is dharma and adharma already. He is an expert. He gave lecture also to Bhagavan in the first chapter we saw. So the problem is not absence of or ignorance of dharma and the adharma. The problem is emotional. Whether I can escape from performing this duty because of attachment, this emotional problem has come. The real problem is what? Attachment. He knows that they are wrong and he is right. And this war is a dharma yuddha with a dharmic purpose in establishing dharma in this society. And he is an authorized person and he has that capacity. He has prepared himself. He has given enough time for the adharmic people to correct themselves. He has already utilized sama, dana, bheda, all the methods. Now he doesn't have any other means other than danda. With all conviction only he entered the battlefield. But because of attachment, suddenly his mind got clouded in thinking. So therefore, now he has that doubt. So Bhagavan reveals the Atma Tattvam, true nature of Bhishma. And if you go to Vedanta, if you ask what is the true nature of oneself, Vedanta says, Stula Sukshma Karna Sharirad Vedirktaha Avastatraya Sakshi Panchakosha Vilakshanaha Sachidananda Swarupaha Yat Tishtati Saha Atma. Consciousness is different from three types of bodies. One is Stula Sharira, gross body, Sukshma Sharira, subtle body, which consists of mind and intellect and ahankara, and karna sharira, ignorance. These are all. Consciousness is different from all these three types of body. And avastatraya sakshi, consciousness is the witness of three states of life, that is waking, dreaming and deep sleep. Then panchakosha vilakshanaha sachidananda swarupaha. It is nothing but sat chit ananda swarupaha. Every living being is a conscious entity. There is a consciousness expressed through particular body-mind complex. It is not manifested outside the body. Therefore, living being is different from the inert things, table, mic, wall, etc. Even though consciousness is all-pervasive entity, because of absence of body and mind, it is not able to express or manifest. What is this consciousness or sentiency or life which differentiates a living being from a table? Consciousness cannot be known as an object of perception through sense organs. It is not even a concept or emotion which can be perceived through intellect or mind. Therefore, we have only one pramanam, source of knowledge, to know about this consciousness, and that pramanam is Vedanta Shastra Pramanam. Vedanta Shastra Pramanam reveals Chaitanyam as Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. It is an infinite entity which is existence itself and which is knowledge itself. It is Satya Vastu. It is a separate entity which is not a part or a property or a product of body-mind complex. It pervades and enlivens the body-mind complex, but it is not a part, property or product of body-mind complex. For example, light principle is not a part, property or product of the body. It pervades the body and makes the body as visible one, but still it is not the part or property or product of the body. Even after the removal of body, the light principle will exist. Similarly, even after the destruction of the body, Chaitanyam exists. Therefore, it is called existence itself, Satya Vastu. And the second definition for consciousness is, it is Ananta Vastu. It is not bound by limitations of the body. Body has spatial limitations, but Chaitanyam is not limited by body because it is Nirakara Vastu. And body has time limitations. That is why we say body is dead. But Chaitanyam is Nitya Vastu. It survives after the death of the body. In the absence of medium, it is invisible. Like light is invisible in the absence of body. Similarly, consciousness is invisible, not perceivable as life principle, as sentiency, but still consciousness exists even after the destruction of body. Body has vastu parichetaha, but Chaitanyam is sarvagataha. That means human body is different from donkey body, monkey body, cat body. But the Chaitanyam which pervades all these bodies is one and the same Chaitanyam. Body is limited by space, limited by time, and limited by its quality. Whereas Chaitanyam is not limited by time because of Nityatvam. Chaitanyam is not limited by space because of Sarvagatatvam. Chaitanyam is not limited by quality because of Nirgunatvam. Then third definition of Chaitanyam is, it is Jnana Vastu. It is never an experienced object, ever the experiencer. No inert object can say that I exist, however much big it is. Space cannot say that I exist. Mountains cannot say I exist. But a living being alone can say that I exist. So it is always available in the form of the subject, the experiencer. It is never an experienced object. In Upanishad we come across, consciousness is nothing but Shrotrasya Shrotram Manaso Manoyate Vachoha Vacham Savu Pranasya Pranaha Chakshushas Chakshuhu Adimuchyanti Dhira, like that mantra goes. It is not the object of Shrotram, Shrotrendriyam. It is not the object of Chakshurindriyam, but it is very subject of Chakshurindriyam and Shrotraindriyam. For example, it is not available in front of the camera, but it is the principle which operates the camera. So Chaitanyam is Aprameya Vastu, different from three types of bodies and external world. All photos reveal the existence of camera. Even though camera is not available in any of the photo, still the very existence of photo reveal the existence of camera. Similarly, Vedanta says, even though Chaitanyam is not available as an object of perception, still because of its existence only all perceptions happen. And Vedanta says, every individual is a mixture of consciousness and inert body. Whenever I say I, that I word is a mixture of consciousness and inert body, Atma and Anatma. Pure consciousness cannot say I, inert body also cannot say I. When both of them come together, then the word I comes. So every individual is a mixture of both Atma and Anatma, both consciousness and inert body. Unfortunately, ignorant person forgets the one part of this mixture, consciousness, and considers himself as Anatma, as body. This is called confusion, Adhyasa. There is a text called Brahma Sutram, written by Vyasacharya, for which Bhagavan Shankaracharya wrote a commentary. While writing a commentary for that text, as an introduction, he analyzes this idea that how adhyasa happens, how superimposition happens. Because of ignorance, superimposition happens. Because of that superimposition means what? Use superimpose the quality of one thing on the other. Quality of Chaitanyam is what? It is not an inert thing. And quality of body is what? It is an inert thing. Considering an inert body as a conscious entity is called superimposition. Because of that superimposition, every living being, not only human being, every living being considers itself as body-mind complex. In that Bhashyam, Adhyasa Bhashyam it is named, Shankaracharya gives an example of a cow. You stand in front of the cow with little distance, keeping grass in one hand and a stick in another hand, and stretch the hand in which you are having grass towards the cow. If cow observes that there is grass in your hand, it comes towards you. As even it comes towards you, you just exchange the hand and stretch the hand in which you have stick. As even the cow sees the absence of grass and the present sudden presence of stick, the cow turns back and tries to run away. This is the example given there. For a cow to come towards you and go away from you, there is a reason. It cannot come towards you unless it has these three convictions. First one is, I am a cow. Second one is, that is the grass, my food. Third one is, that food will satisfy my hunger and give me a satisfaction. With these three convictions only, it can even start walking towards you. As even it approaches you, since you have changed the hands, again it turns back and tries to run away from you. This turning back and running also is caused by three convictions: that I am cow, this is a stick, a source of danger, a source of pain, and by the stick I will get pain. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, this superimposition, adhyasa, is the cause of all pravritti and nivritti. So, every individual, though is a mixture of consciousness and inert body, because of ignorance of the presence of consciousness in that inert body, ignorant person considers himself as body-mind complex only. Therefore, all pravritti happens. The purpose of Vedanta Shastram is to shift our identity from inert body to consciousness, to separate this combination, this mixture of consciousness and inert body. First, it tries to make us to understand that there are two different things in one particular word called I. Even though it is a one letter word, it is a combination of two different things, entirely different things, Atma and Anatma. First, understand that. After separating Atma and Anatma, after separating Atma and Anatma means what? Not physically separated. With regard to our understanding, this separation happens. After separating it, it asks us to shift our identity towards Atma. So, entire spiritual sadhana will be an attempt to shift this identity, this identification about ourselves, from the perishable body to the eternal consciousness, from anitya anatma to nitya atma. Shastra says, if you are body, if your identity is with body, then you are mortal, subject to jara and marana. If your identity is with Chaitanyam, you will be immortal, or you are immortal, not subject to jara and marana. And it says, if you don't want jara and maranam, then the only way is what? You should shift your identification. You should shift your identification from body to Atma consciousness. You should shift your self-identification from Anatma, the body, to Atma, the consciousness. Body should be recognized as a place where I, the consciousness, manifests. It is Ayatanam. It is a place where consciousness manifests. It is like a house wherein the master lives. The inert house cannot be called as a master. Inert house cannot be called as a householder. Householder must be a conscious entity who is holding the house. Similarly, body should be recognized as a place where I, the consciousness, manifests. And mind should be recognized as an instrument through which I, the consciousness, appear to transact. It doesn't have any transaction, but it appears to be having transaction. So mind is a instrument and body is a ayatanam, place where it manifests. Mind is an instrument through which it manifests, body is a place in which it manifests. This shift in identification makes a person to own up his nitya muktatvam. As body, he cannot hope to be a muktaha, free person from jara and maranam, old age and death. And as consciousness, he need not struggle to become muktaha, because consciousness is already free from jara and maranam. A mere shift in our identification makes us to conquer jara and maranam. This conquering is in the form of self-knowledge and understanding about oneself. By self-knowledge, I drop all my identification with asat vastu, with untruth. That's why in the Upanishad there is a mantra, asatoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amrutangamaya. O Lord, lead us from asat, untruth, to truth. What is untruth? Idea that I am a limited individual is untruth. Body is limited. I am all-pervasive entity. Because of the combination of both body and consciousness, because of the ignorance about my identity, real identity, I superimpose the limitations of the body in me, the consciousness, and I consider it as a fact. This is not a fact, this is untruth. O Lord, please lead us to truth from untruth. And going to truth from untruth is in the form of understanding. Therefore, tamasoma jyotirgamaya. Here tamas means ignorance. Lead us from ignorance to knowledge by going towards knowledge, or by gaining knowledge about the truth. What is the benefit? Mrityorma amrutam gamaya. We will be immortal beings by knowing that I am not inert body and I am the conscious entity. So entire spiritual journey is nothing but giving up the untruth and owning up the truth in the form of understanding, and be free from the ideas called janma marana. By Vedanta Vichara, my body is not going to be converted as immortal. But by Vedanta Vichara, in spite of having mortal body, I recognize myself as immortal, which happened to be my own real nature. Therefore, by Vedanta Vichara, I am not going to convert this mortal body as immortal. And I need not convert immortal Atma as immortal, because it is already immortal. but I will recognize and identify myself as a conscious entity, Ananta Chaitanyam, which is Nityaha, Muktaha, Shuddhaha, Buddhaha, etc. More details we will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.